Week 8. Here we go. Done to find the giants. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was what? Word was God, and with God, and the Word was God himself. Then in verse 14, the Word became flesh. Jesus became flesh himself. He dwelt among us, beheld his glory, and the glory of the begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. So God gave us his Word, not just in writing of a contract, or a testament, or a covenant. He sent the Word, his Son, to show us how to live and die for our sins. He didn't just give us the Word in writing. He sent his Son, the Word, in the flesh. We have a live, living illustration of how to live. How great is that? Wouldn't that be great? I mean, this is one of the greatest things about YouTube, right? So 25 years ago, if you were building that same entertainment center out of that three-quarter laminate board, right? And if you're trying to figure it out by just the words, right? It's like, and there was no pictures. Can you imagine no pictures? Right? That's the first thing people look for in a book, right? How many pictures? Okay, so it's like, okay, how many? Oh, I love my picture Bible. It's this thick, but so there's words, but then there's pictures. Part of preaching and teaching is painting the picture of what God's love is. What does it look like? How does it work? If you could actually have the pictures on the page and watch a YouTube clip of how they're assembling that, how awesome would that be? Jesus came so we wouldn't just read it. We could actually watch him. What did he say? How did he respond to that? They did that to him and he said, don't get angry. Don't worry about getting offended. Yeah, but they're trying to kill me. Yeah, but they cut in front of me at Burger King. We get upset at the most minute things. And then we don't want to apply God's word to it. My attitude, how I feel, how I conduct how to ask for forgiveness. We don't want to do that. Oh, it's that person's fault. Whenever they want to do it. No. Those who are mature under the meat of the word, they show that by what they do. Jesus showed us how to face the giants in our lives. Giant situations in our lives, people that come up against us. We're not limited to that. Jesus came also to show us our sins, everybody. Yes. Not just difficult situations, but our offs. What else are we doing that's sin? He came to light up our paths, to show us the way in everything, that we do all the situations and how to face life. Victorious seasons in our lives will happen. We saw that in Elijah. Not just natural, but spiritually victorious times will happen. But Jesus came to also show us how to navigate through the difficult times. And we need the Holy Spirit to be our guide to that. Can't get by that. Well, yeah, that's that Pentecostal thing. No, it doesn't say, and if you're Pentecostal, the Holy Spirit, please turn to page 285 in the New Testament. Doesn't say that. Right? It's like, yeah, and if you were born after this day, and if you got saved after this day, oh, and if you're Baptist, oh, if you're Presbyterian, oh, if you're, turn to this page because these two, four chapters are not for you because you don't believe them. That's the problem of where you get your information from. Does everyone have some extended time tonight? Okay, all right. Go on a denominational website sometime. I don't care. Assemblies of God, Presbyterian, it doesn't matter. I'm not going to pick on one or the other. I'm just going to say. You know what they'll tell you is how they differ from everybody else. Right? We have the 16 fundamental truths, the Assemblies of God, and we pick this because it establishes us and it separates us. It's not that we don't believe the rest of the Bible. It's here are the things that separate us from the other denominations. Everyone understand that? We still believe the whole word is true, and it's not that we are overemphasizing anything, but these are what set us apart, because other denominations do not believe in healing. Other denominations do not believe in the rapture of the church. Other denominations do not believe in this. They don't believe in this. So when you go on their website, they're going to say, oh, by the way, we now believe, and there's updates. I was just on the other day, I'm not going to tell you which one it was. It was a major denomination. They've updated what they believe now about marriage. So before, it was biblical what they thought about marriage, but they've updated. And in an attempt to get more people over to their side. Oh, okay. It's funnier to me than it was to you. Okay, so... But they're deceiving people. It's deception. Matthew 28, 16. You know, we show our love towards Christ by being imitators and being obedient to his commands. 11 disciples went away into Galilee up to the mountain Jesus appointed. It's after the Passion now. We looked at this last week. Jesus spoke unto them, saying, all power is now given unto me and on earth. So go therefore, teach. Here's some commands now. Here's some commands. Teach all nations, baptize them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Teach them to observe all things in the word that I have commanded you. And I'm going to be with you always. How is he going to be with them always? Power of the Holy Spirit. Oh, this is, okay. Satan knows it's our job. Remember last week? Satan knows it's our job to go make disciples. He knows we're commanded to go make disciples. That is what a disciple does. He learns God's word and he goes and makes other disciples. He knows that. So as followers and imitators of Christ, we're supposed to make disciples. Satan knows that. So he tries to have giants come up against us. Then we follow. We have sin issues that we deal with too. Do you guys see how many different things are going on? What do we need? I need the Holy Spirit. I need the Holy Spirit. Because the word says, John 14, if you love me, you keep my commands. Verse 17, even the Spirit of truth, Holy Spirit, whom the word cannot receive, it sees him not, neither knows him, but you know him. He dwells with you and shall be what? In you. Old Testament, the Spirit would come on people for periods of time. He would anoint people for a certain of time with the Holy Spirit to do specific works. Right? For Moses, whoosh, my Spirit. Here's my Spirit. Here's my Spirit. Boom. Oh, Saul, you messed up. I pull my Spirit off of you. David, take over. You guys, okay. In New Testament, the Holy Spirit, wait for the promise of the Holy Spirit to come inside of you, and he will direct you. Because now, everyone, now, New Testament, everyone has the mandate to go make disciples. In order to go make disciples, I need the Holy Spirit. Why do I do that? Jesus said so, Matthew 27, 28, Acts 1. We have to have it. Well, are we supposed to do other things than make disciples? Yes. Stop sinning. It's hard to make disciples if you're sinning all the time, right? Hey, do as I say, not as I do. No, Bible says word and deed. Word and deed. Luke 4, 18. Remember, Jesus was the light. He commands us to do the things in his word. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, says Jesus, because he has anointed me. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me, the Messiah, to preach the good news. Gospel of the poor. Okay. He was anointed to go preach and minister and make disciples. This is what it says. The Spirit is on them to anoint him to go minister to people. That's what he's supposed to do. He announced release to the captives, recover your sight, send forth, deliver those who are oppressed, who are downtrodden, bruised, crushed, broken down by calamity. We see a pattern happening here. He's telling us in his earthly ministry of 3.5 years, Spirit of the Lord is upon me, Spirit, and I'm going to go preach, make disciples, I'm going to teach people in the way they are wrong, sin, all that stuff. He said that in Matthew 4, if you guys remember that. Same thing that John the Baptist was saying. Turn from your sin. Repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. Saying the same thing. Here we see the same message. Then Jesus said again, John 20, 21, peace to you, as the Father has sent me forth, so I am what? I'm sending you to go do what? Go make disciples. Well, how am I going to make disciples if I'm constantly in sin? But God, look, all the giants in my life. People are out there to get me. My boss is like me. And I'm a Christian, so they're going to fire me. And I'm not going to have any money. So I just need to be quiet. I need to lay low, not say anything. But your job is to go say something, to go make disciples. My God shall supply all my needs according to his riches, according to his plan for me of what I need to go make disciples. That's what he'll supply you with. Matthew 6, 33. You go, oh. Seek first the kingdom of God. And then what? And then everything. I'm going to be righteous, do what is right. I'm going to seek the kingdom. What's the kingdom? Go make disciples. And then I'm going to do what is right. Stop sinning. Do everything that he's commanded you. Boom. And then everything, word. Everything in his word will be added on to me. Not the riches of all the world. It's the supply that you need to carry out his anointing and the plan in your life. He's going to give you, enough money. He's going to give you enough the relationships. He's going to give you all those things to make sure his plan is fulfilled in your life. See, this is where, okay, we're not going to get into the word of faith stuff right now. I'm telling you, this is where some denominational and some movement stuff can take it too far. God does supply. He does give it abundance, but for the plan that he has for your life. That's why he supplies it. Okay, here we go. Next page, 1 John 2:27. The anointing which you have received of him, this is John now speaking, abides in you. The anointing which you have received of him, Christ, now abides in you. And now you need no one that any man teaches you. That doesn't mean you stop going to church. It doesn't mean you have to not study the Bible anymore. In the Greek, it says that believer doesn't need anything that's not already found in the Word. This is where it's huge. Now you don't need anybody else teaching you something outside of this. But no, I got this new book and it's... No, there's nothing new under the sun. But I got this book and if it lines up with the Word, that's one thing. Okay. Oh my goodness, it is. Okay. Yeah, it's going to be long. Okay, so we're going to be fine. So everything's going to be fine. But the same anointing... Okay, so I don't need some other books. It's not that I can't read another book. I don't need another book as an addendum to this one. I don't need the 14 books in the Apocrypha from the Catholic Church that's separate from this to tell me anything else about this. I don't need any of this other junk that's out there. There's no new revelation. As soon as someone says, I have new fresh revelation, run. Run. Just run. Just go. But as the same anointing teacheth you of all things, what's he's teaching you? It's not new things, all things that's already written in the Word. The anointing, the Holy Spirit, which you have received, the same Spirit that was on Christ, who was in him, has now, you don't have to learn, you don't have to be taught anything outside of this right here. That same anointing is going to teach you the word and its truth, and there's no lie, and even as it has taught you, you shall abide in him. Because ye abide in me, and the word abides in you, you shall ask what you will, and it shall be done. You're only asking the word. Jesus said, I only ask that which the Father has already spoken. So if God abides in me, his word abides in me, what am I going to be asking? What the word says I can ask for. You all with me on this? All right. Okay. It's going to be fine. God's word and Jesus is the word became flesh and dwelt among us. The anointing is alive and it's in every born again believer if you want to walk in it. The anointing of God, the anointing of life, to live life in abundance and more than abundantly. I'm not talking about throwing Benjamins around. I'm not talking about pulling up in a Benz. I'm not talking about any of that. I'm talking about abundance in everything that you need. Some people need abundance of relationship because they're doing this. Some people need abundance of the talent over here because God has called you to have this specialized field that you need in. If you're a piano player, if you're a horn player, we had somebody who played the saxophone last week, a pastor's nephew. He was incredible. He has an abundance in that musical talent because God called him to be a musician. There's an abundance in that area because he needs it. Well, there's other people who give Hobby Lobby. You guys know Hobby Lobby. Hobby Lobby, the store Hobby Lobby. David Green. David Green has an abundance of cash. You know why? He gives it all to missions. He's got an abundance of something because it's God's and he's using it for the kingdom. If God can get it through you, he'll keep getting it to you. But if you want to plug up, you want to plug up the blessing that he says, I'm giving you this to go bless people. I'm not talking about just, I wish I could just work at the church. No, wherever God has called you, that's where he needs you. He's giving you talents to work somewhere. If you're not supposed to work in the church ministry full time, believe me, you don't want to go there just to try it out. Just like I don't want to try out another job to say, ministry stinks. I wish I could just, boy, it'd be so much easier if I could be a second grade teacher. No, it wouldn't. I watch those teachers. I'm seriously. They're out drinking and smoking every break. I'm kidding. I'll edit that out. All right. Kidding. I'm kind of kidding. All right. So John 10:10. Jesus, John 10:10. This is Jesus. The thief comes not, the thief does. Wait, Jesus came to give life and give it more abundantly, right? That's why he came for life. The thief, though, he comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. But Jesus said, I didn't come to do that. I didn't come to hold you back. I came to give you life and more abundantly. I'm just guiding you away from the sin. I'm guiding you away from the giants. You know? And sometimes I need you to actually go through the giant in your life, a giant situation that you're fearful over. So for my glory, and I'm going to anoint you to go through that tough situation. I'll anoint you. My Holy Spirit will come inside of you. He will give you more power, and he'll lock you into the truth. See, the anointing is there to reveal things to you. That the Holy Spirit and that anointing is there to reveal things to you, things that you have already read. Grant, you can do this. Why? Because there's no weapon formed against you is going to prosper. God is not a man that he should lie. He said you do it good. He goes, trust with me. I'll go away. Grant, but I don't know if I heard right. You don't think if you're just praying and fasting, you're asking God for direction, and you go, man, I really believe that God told me to do this. And the second you go, okay, I'm going to go this direction, God goes, you're wrong again. You know that God is always working things out for us. But if you seek first him, even if you miss it a little bit, I'm telling you, people, this is why when people come and go, man, I really want to do God's will. I really want to do God's will. I go, well, how long have you felt like this? 11 years. Well, maybe you should take a step out and do it. I just want to make sure it's right. No, you're fearful. Faith, take a step out. Peter had to take a step out of that boat. He didn't even know where he was going. He just knew he was walking towards the master. He had no idea, why am I stepping on it? Why do I have to walk on the water? Does it really make sense? No, I could just sit in a boat. Well, I'm going to get ahead of myself. Okay, it's Moses. We're going to talk about that. The Holy Spirit is under command to carry out that and that anointing in us to make decisions to inquire of the Lord. Holy Spirit, he goes, hey, we're going to do God's plan. You and I, we're going to do this together. I'm inside of you now. I'm going to guide you in this. We're going to help you. Because the word of God, we use that word to inquire the Lord, to use the word of God as direction, protection, and perfection along with correction. Those are the four things that we have to hold on to, God's word and the Holy Spirit. Because without correction, without, hey, that's sin, that is not what I said to do. Without that correction, you won't get to perfection. Well, Pastor, we'll never be perfect. This perfecting of our faith, we're perfecting. Once we get into heaven, we'll be perfect. Jesus is the only one perfect. That word perfection in the Greek is perfecting. It's an ongoing thing. Without that, you will not get the protection that you need because you walked outside of God's plan. Just because you're a Christian, well, I'm a Christian, but I want to do what I want to do. You walk outside of the protection. Well, wait, you're saying God's still with you. He's giving you an anointing to go some direction, and you decided out of fear, I'm going to sit back here. I'm not going to sin. I'm not going to cheat on my wife, and I'm still going to be good. I'm not going to say potty mouth words, and I'm not going to drink. I'm just not going to do anything, but I'm fearful to actually go do anything because I got a really good job, and I'm 2 years away from retirement. But you could be one day away from death because you're not promised tomorrow. Teach us the number of our days. That's Bible. Teach us the number of our days. Boom. When Abraham heard the word, he gave up everything, and it took him approximately 18 months to move everything. It didn't say after the 18 months, Abraham was counted on as righteous. It said the moment he started planning to follow God's plan, that's when the anointing came on him. Pastor Grant, I just need a little more time to get comfortable spot again. I've got my life. I got to get my life in order. Then I can start back and walk under God's anointing, that plan that he gave me, you know, just to be everything he wants me to be. That's what took you out of his anointing in the first place. Because you kept looking when everything was comfortable. Life is not designed for your comfort. It's designed for him. Wow. I'm going to plug in amens later on that one. Okay, that's a tough one. It's a tough one. But no, God wants me happy. He wants me joyful in his plan. Amen. That's when you will find joy in his plan. He didn't say, he goes, my yoke is much easier, or my direction, my plan for you is much easier than your plan for you. But no, God, look, I've got it all played out. Yes, you've got your life laid out for you where it's comfortable for you, where you can do everything in your own strength. But the anointing is not your own strength. It's supernatural wisdom. It's supernatural strength. And the Holy Spirit will guide you to do something powerful for God. But you got to get rid of sin. You got to get rid of addictions. You got to get rid of all the things that easily beset you that Paul says, I got to cut the weight off because I can't go anywhere because all the stuff is weighing me down. Fear weighs people down. I don't care if you're 85. If you're fearful to do something that God told you to do, it's weighing you down. Wherever you're at right now, submit to him, and he will start right where you're at. This is where people, they get of God's will for a while. They get, you know, could be in sin, could be in whatever. And they go, okay, I just got to work my way back into this slowly. No, you start walking with him, you get right back into his perfect plan for your life. It's not, you might have missed the opportunity for that specific thing, but God's always got a perfect will for you from the day forth that you say, I want to walk with you again. He's got a perfect plan for your life. Now, the things that you've already done, the things that you've missed out, you might have to pay for stuff. He doesn't cover your child support payments. He might supernaturally supply a job for you, you can pay that, but he doesn't say, okay, everything that you've already done, he forgives you of that and forgets it, but you still have responsibilities from things that you did in the past. Well, God, you know what? I bought that car when I wasn't thinking straight. Take it away, bank. I have no more obligation. It's all under the blood. Really? No? You just got zapped on your credit score and they're going to take your car away. So those are things. It's like just because I'm walking with God doesn't mean there's responsibilities that I shun. God's going to help me navigate those things that not just have been, but things that will be. But God has a perfect plan and will for us. When you start to look back and think, oh no, I blew it again. I'll never get where God wants me to be. Has anyone ever said that? Has anyone ever blew it? I just, you know, I missed it. Boy, I repent. Just, yeah, but now it's going to take me too long. Yeah, I'm too old to do it. I went into the ministry when I was 33 years old. I told God for 4 years I was too old. And he finally said, well, you're 4 years older than now, so now you don't even want to do it even more, right? The longer you delay that which God has told you to do, fear creeps in, callousness to what, your excitement starts to wane. If you instantly are obedient, the excitement rises up and you don't have time for your natural man to reason what God just told you. Faith, childlike faith, doesn't reason away anything. Childlike faith goes, oh, okay, you think I can, okay, if I can do that, I can do it. When we moved and sold everything and just moved to Florida, we went boink like that. Everyone said, you're crazy. I said, yeah, I know. But God told me to do it. Don't you hate when people say that? But they usually say that when they're in sin. When they're doing something contrary to God's word. So I know for people, it's like, God told me to go in ministry, we sold everything we had, and we just moved. And you start thinking about that. Well, why would you do that? Because I know there was an anointing to go do something, and God helped us navigate every single thing that we were supposed to do from that point forward. But what happens is self-condemnation starts rising up because you start thinking about your past and the things that you've done in the past. But the word says there's now no condemnation for those who are in Christ, who live and walk not after the dictates of the flesh, but dictates after the Spirit, but direction from. God's, oh, shame on you, Grant. You know what? That's my old self. I'm not that person anymore. So stop thinking about that because now you're thinking about your own power. And the Holy Spirit says that anointing on you, that has nothing to do with your past. The anointing is going to blow you into the future. That's the thing that's going to overcome. You can't stop thinking about what you've done in the past, failures in the past, how people have treated you in the past. You can't. It doesn't matter. Well, no, you know, forget about it. But I can't. Then you better pray because fear is creeping in about how people will treat you in the future and it's robbing you from what God has in store for you. Everyone can get down on themselves. It's easy to do. I still do it. But you're condemning you. And God says, I've already forgotten it, Grant. You've already asked for forgiveness. You've moved on. Now you move on so I can move on my perfect will in your life. If we confess our sins, 1 John 1:9, he is faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse us. He's going to cleanse us. He does the work. I'm not doing it, everyone. He went to the cross for me. But I have to say, you know what? I was wrong. How do I know I was wrong? Because the Word told me I was. And the Holy Spirit goes, you ain't moving forward unless you're asking for forgiveness. That's when people reason away Scripture. You know what? That I'm not going to move forward. This is where people stay the same way year after year after year. But all you have to do by faith is say, your will be done, repent, turn away from your sin. Is it just that easy? Yes, because Jesus did the hard part for us. Come to me, all you heavy laden burden, and I will cause you to rest. I will relieve you and refresh your souls. Take my yoke upon you. Learn from me. I'm gentle. I'm humble. I'm lowly in heart. You will find rest, relief, and ease, refreshment. For my yoke, my plan, my commands, my direction, wholesome. It's good. It's not harsh. But it's comfortable. It's gracious. And my burden is light and easy. What I'm asking you to do with the power of the Holy Spirit, it's not that difficult. So I'm not going to work my way back into the will of God. I walk right back into it. Well, if I say five Hail Marys and I do this, and I feed 3,000 people and I do this and I give $17,000 away and I do this. No, that's not how you don't work itself back in. He already did the work at the cross. I get back all life. I repent of my sin and I start walking right back in the perfect will of God. We move on. We beat each other up and it doesn't make sense. Stop sinning. Move on. Forget it. Far as east from the west, he did. God is going to take care of the logistics of the plan that he has for you moving forward. He will take care of the navigation. He will decide where you should step. He will decide. He'll take care of things. But all you have to do, your will, God, your will be done. Your plan be done in my life. On earth as it is, God always has a plan, and it's to prosper you in his plan. It's to prosper you. It is to give you more than you need. He's going to give you what you need for his plan. What people do is when he starts giving you stuff for his plan is you go, look, oh, I accumulated it. I did it. No, God did. And then you rest and you stop somewhere because you got enough accumulation. But God said, that was for the plan. Yeah, but God, I'm really talented, and the world will pay me a lot more than you will. People get caught. People are trapped. In order to activate the anointing and his plan for you, you have to speak his words and you have to do his words. I'm not talking about speaking all things in existence. I'm talking about Jesus said, I only spoke his words. Meaning, when I ask for something, it has to be out of God's word. You can't ask for something that doesn't line up with his word. John 12:49, Jesus said, I only say that what the Father says. I only do. So I'm speaking God's word. I'm not asking for something contrary to his will. And by speaking his word, I control my tongue. Because life and death are in the power of the tongue. That's Proverbs. The wisest man ever lived said, watch what you say. It's a manifestation of what's going on the inside. So when you go after God's plan in your life, which is to share the good news of Christ to make disciples, grace will manifest itself in your life. If you're called into the fivefold ministry, God will start to pour out grace all over you. If you're called into the business world, teacher, car business, wherever he's called you, he will pour out his grace as you walk in that anointing as well. He's got an assignment for you. I'm not subject to that because I'm not in church. Yes, you are. You're in the kingdom of God. Once you're in the kingdom, you all have an assignment. I need the anointing to do my assignment. If I don't have an anointing, I will quit. Because I will give in temptation. I will go into sin. Why? It doesn't really matter. Yes, it does. God has a plan for you. And your sin is stopping you from what God has for you. Yeah, but there's people against me. God says, I go before you. I'll take care of them for you. God will put you into position to bless others and use the anointing to develop his plan and give you grace to accomplish his plan where nothing will be too hard for you. Psalms 112 talks about the upright man, the righteous man. He gives, he does his family, he prospers everything that he does because he's doing God's plan. God's plan. Jeremiah 32:7, O Lord, behold, thou hast made the heavens and the earth by your great power and your outstretched hand, and there is nothing too hard for you. There is no thing too hard for you. Thing, words, promises, commands, and God's word. That's what thing means. There is no thing. This means no word, not one command, not one promise from God or God's word is impossible fulfillment. Luke 1:37. But Jesus beheld him and said, with men, this is impossible, but with God, all things are possible. All things, anything I'm saying in my word, it's all possible. But God, you have no idea what I did in the past. There is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. No longer have to walk through the dictates of the flesh, but no longer walk through the dictates of the Spirit. Even if it's a hard thing God is asking you to do, that anointing will rise up inside of you. The anointing will rise up, the Holy Spirit, and you'll face it together. When you face things and people on the outside will think it's you, it makes, you know what, the Holy Spirit actually makes you look good. Right? It's supernatural power. It's like, man, how did you say that? How did you speak that? Or, man, I can't believe you controlled your tongue. I would have lost it. Well, I just practiced my self-control. No, it's the Spirit working inside of you. It's fruit, because you will be known by your fruit. How do you control those nine fruits? It's because I worked at it. I studied the Word, and I'm studying to show myself approved, not just in word, but in deed. God will allow, He will test you. The enemy tempts, God tests. Don't think God doesn't test you, because He doesn't want staying where you're at. He wants to move you forward. But He goes, you know what, Grant, you have anger issues. You know what? Here. I got a story for that too, but you know what? I want you to think well of me. Okay, all right. Because it's all under the blood. All right, Philippians 1:1, next page. Paul and Timothy, both servants of Christ, under the anointed one. Under the anointed one. The anointing on the anointing one is the anointing, and we're the body of the same anointing. There is an anointing upon him. It says, the Spirit is upon me to anoint me to preach the good news. So there's an anointing on you once you're a follower of Jesus Christ to share the news. So there's an anointing on you from the anointed one to go do the anointing. You're anointed. Jesus said, now go wait for the promised Holy Spirit, because the Spirit that was on me that anointed me, now He's on you. Everyone with me? Okay, you're anointed. Wait, what does that mean? That means you have to go make disciples. Oh, I don't want to be anointed then. Yes, you got to go to work. And all the saints, the back half of verse 1, to all the saints in Christ, the anointed one, all saints who are in Christ. If you are an imitator, follower of Jesus Christ, you are in Christ, so you're anointed. If we are in the anointed Christ, then we are the body of the anointing. The anointing comes down from His head and onto the body of Christ. That is the expansion of the kingdom of God in Isaiah. There's an expansion, and the body does it, and we're anointed to do it. This is why Jesus said in chapter 14 of John's gospel, remember, we're identifying giants. Giants in our lives, not just people, situations. Situations deceive you. You think it's going to be hard, you think it's going to be difficult, but it's really not, because the Spirit's going to guide you in how to overcome all these things. John 14. Do you not believe that I'm in the Father and the Father's in me? What I'm telling you, I don't say on my own authority, but the Father who lives continually in me, He does the work. We're not doing the work, everyone. We're just being obedient to God's word. Believe me, I'm in the Father and the Father in me. Or else believe me for the sake of the work themselves. If you cannot trust me, at least the works that I do in myself and convince you. Verse 12. I assure you, most solemnly I tell you, if anyone believes in me, he will himself be able to do the things that I do. Now, believe. What does believe mean? If you believe in something. Remember, it's not just in word, it's in deed. It's not just what I say, it's how I act. If you really, by what you say and what you do, if you really believed in me, then he will himself be able to do the things that I do. Things in the word. And I will do, you are going to do even greater things, because now I'm going to the Father. Why would I do greater things? Because now the Holy Spirit can be inside of you now. So there had to be a transfer there. He had to go in order for the Holy Spirit to come inside of you. Why? For the anointing. This is right out of the... Time just seems to go faster as you get older. Okay. For most of us, we think God is out there somewhere. No, He's inside of us. God's not out there. God sent His Holy Spirit to come inside of us. Paul said to the church, verse 2, Philippians 1, grace, favor, and blessing to you. Can't skip over this. It's the book of Acts 2, 4th chapter. The power of God shook the building they were in, and the word and this grace. Here we go, chapter 4 of Acts. When they prayed, the place was shaken. They were assembled together. They were filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spoke the word of God with boldness. And the multitude of them that believed were of one and one soul. Neither said any of them, interesting, so the Holy Spirit came into them, and it says in those who believed, right? It didn't say for those who said, I want the Holy Spirit, it's in word and deed. It actually took place. It happened. Word and deed. They waited. They waited for the promised Holy Spirit, as they were told in Matthew 28, and in Acts 1, Peter reminded them, and bam, it happened. Neither said any of them that they ought of all the things which he possessed was his own, and the things he had come, verse 33. And with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Christ, and great grace was upon them all. Great grace. Now, grace in the last couple of years has just gotten crazy what people think it is. Grace, I can do whatever I want to. God loves me. It doesn't matter. No, he says, if you love me, you keep my commands. Well, no, it doesn't matter. I got grace. I can just do anything I want to. No, you can't. Well, Pastor, you said, yes, if you repent, grace doesn't stop you from repenting. Oh, I don't have to repent because I got grace. That's false teaching. There's so much of this grace junk going on. You can buy books on, there's a book, I mean, I ain't kidding you. It says, who cares about sin? We have grace. Christian bookstore. Wow. People are being deceived. Just because it's in a Christian bookstore doesn't mean it's from God's word. Grace, favor, and blessing to you, your heart, peace from God our Father. God is speaking favor, blessing unto you. Remember, it's not favor to get what you want. It's favor for the plan that he has for you. It's blessing to do what you need to in order for his plan. But Pastor Grant, that's Paul. Paul was walking out. No, God's speaking through the anointing on Paul. God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. God is speaking to us the anointing and the grace, unmerited favor. Unmerited favoring, and to do the anointing that Jesus did is now on you. Grace is unmerited favor and the same anointing as God on you. It is not to go sin. Grace is not to sin. It is the empowerment to go do what Jesus did. I was expecting a bigger amen from that. Okay. But I like sinning. No, stop it. Jesus said, repent. Philippians 1:3. He keeps going. He's talking to a church. I thank my God in all my remembrance of you. In every prayer of mine, I always make my entreaty and petition for you. And I thank God for your fellowship. The word fellowship is translated partnership in the Greek. If you are in business with someone or partners, you have fellowship with them. And it means people coming together to accomplish something that they could not do by themselves. So here's a fellowship of believers. I thank God for your fellowship in advancing the good news, right? That's their job, advancing the good news. Verse 6, I'm convinced and sure of this very thing, that he which has begun a work in you will continue or will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ, and perfecting, there's that word perfecting, and bringing it to full completion. I want to jump ahead real quick, one chapter, Philippians 2. Now, this is not in your own strength that you're going to do this, what's in chapter 1. For it is God who is all the while working, he's working all the time, both to will and to work for his good pleasure. God's asking you to do something, and he's working on something. This is the work that God is doing, not just empowering you to do it, but empowering you to be willing to do it. This is big. I know I could do it. I just don't feel like it. Don't worry, we're not going to get through this. I saw some people actually really scared. Okay, so we're not going to do it. Okay. Who mows their lawn still? Not right now, of course, but in general, in the sun, okay? In Florida, no one mows their own lawn. They don't. It's 3,000 degrees outside. So what I learned is, I said, when we first moved down there, I'm 33 years old, I want to mow my lawn. I will not pay $15 a week to do this. I will buy a $500 lawnmower, amortizer, or that. I could have probably had someone mow for 4 years for free. So I will pay for that lawnmower. I'm going to get a $200 hedger. I'm going to do all this stuff, and I'm going to be a man. So what I realized, it gets very hot. So now you're in flip-flops and no shirt and a pair of shorts, Speedos preferably, and you're actually, I'm kidding, kind of. So you're out there getting a tan, you're mowing your lawn, and you realize it is so disgustingly hot that you don't even want flip-flops on. So you're walking, and it's not real grass, it's crabgrass in Florida. Have you guys ever talked? And no one actually walks on the grass down there. You look at it, and there's crabgrass. So you're walking in it, and you realize it gets so hot, and then you realize these painful little things going on your feet. And it's called fire ants. They're everywhere down there. I realized, although I could do it, I no longer wanted to mow my lawn. What God wants to get us to the point is, I know, Grant, that I'm telling you to do it, but I want you to want to do it. I know I could mow my lawn, but I don't. I'll just pay someone else to do it. You don't get to pay someone else to do kingdom work for you. Well, that's what the missionary's for. No, that's for him to go where he's called. Where you're called, you don't pay someone. You know what? Could you be a missionary for me at work? Just come sit in my cubicle. I will stroke a check for you. I'll support you monthly, $50. You just come to work once a month. You know, pass out a couple tracts. You're like my personal missionary. It doesn't work. He wants to get us. The anointing is to empower you to want to do the discipling yourself. If I got to do everybody else to do the work myself, there's no reason for me to be discipled. If I'm not discipled, then I can't be obedient to God's word. If I'm not obedient to God's word, I'm sinning, and that person will enter into iniquity. Iniquity will not enter the kingdom of heaven. The anointing in studying this in Philippians 1 and 2, Paul says, we're all coming together because we're all in community together. We're a partnership. We provoke one another to do good works. So we need to understand that his anointing that is in me, and I need to be willing to do his work, and I need to go do his work. Oh, yeah, I want to be good for God one day, but I'm just not willing to do it right now. So you have to line up with his will and be willing to do it. When you stop dreading what God wants you to do, what he has anointed you to do, you'll change from the inside out. People know there's something different about you. Because if you're not, you're just like everybody else. You blend in with everybody else. Because you have knowledge. You have knowledge. That's from the passage before. It says, you've gained knowledge. And it says, but you can't discern good from evil. It says, these people sit in their houses, gather knowledge, but they don't know how to do that because they've never discipled anybody. They haven't walked out there with the anointing and gotten beaten up. God says, people are going to come against you. Jesus said, hey, I was hated, so are you. Well, I don't want to be hated, so I sit in the house. No, get out. That's what the anointing's for. It's not going to cost you anything. It may in the natural, but not in the spirit. It's going to prosper you. More spirit in you, more wisdom, all those things. So here we go. Philippians 2:13, not in your own strength, for it's God who all the while effectually is at work in you, energizing you, creating in you the power and desire both not just to will it and to work. Will and to work. I'm willing to do it, God, and I will work. So here's the fourth chapter of Philippians. I can do all things, anything in your word, through Christ, the anointing, which strengthens me. Same anointing on Christ as on you. I can do anything. It doesn't say who, it says which strengthens me. That anointing strengthens me. So here's this letter now. We're going to break this down, Philippians 2. For it is God who works in you both to will and to do it. I'm willing to do it, God, and I'm going to do it. Therefore, I can do all things through Christ's anointing, which strengthens me. Not only am I going to want to do it, I am going to do it, and Christ is going to strengthen me in anything now according to his plan. Everyone see this? This is huge to walk in his anointing. It's huge to do his plan. So you and I can do anything that God wants us to do. His plan or his will be done. You and I have an anointing to perform the anointing. Your will has to line up with his will. Now, I'm going to give you 2 minutes. It's 8:28. We're going to give 2 minutes as a teaser for next week. Why are we going to do this? So I set this whole thing up to walk in this anointing. You're anointed. The anointing is not just to do it. It's the wanting to do his will. I have to want to do it. It's not just knowledge. I could do that if I wanted to. No, go do it. Moses, story of Moses. Moses had a giant task in his life ahead of him. You know that? Moses had a really, you could say that was a giant in his life. Can you imagine kicking back in the desert after what he did? We're going to talk about this next week, but I'm just going to finish with this to give it a little teaser to talk about, think about. Moses had a pretty good thing going. He was on the other side of the desert. He was away from Egypt where all this trouble was going on. He had killed somebody. He was just like, you know what? Forget it. I see all my people in bondage. I don't want to deal with this anymore. He saw his people, God's people, Hebrew, they were in bondage. He saw them. They were in captivity. They were captive. He himself had murdered someone. Condemnation. Right? Frustrated. I'm out of here. He had done things wrong in the past, and he also knew that his people were in trouble. But you know what? I just don't want to deal with this. He moved across the desert. You know how long it took for him to want to will to do the work of God? 40 years. 40 years. Interesting enough, but once he said, and he looked at that bush, we'll look at this specifically next week. But I want to help. I got all this anointing to do this thing for this week, because you got 7 more days now after we meet again. Moses, it said, oh, I got to go to this. Moses, Exodus 3:3. Moses is out in the wilderness. Interesting things happen in the wilderness, don't they? John the Baptist is in the wilderness. Jesus is in the wilderness. And that's when they were spoken to by God. Isn't it interesting? Moses, Exodus 3:3, he's out in the wilderness just hanging with some animals. And it says, and Moses saw, he was not on the mountain of Sinai, but in the wilderness next to the mountain of God. Didn't want to go there, close, but I just like hanging out here for a while, a little ambiguous, just kind of chilling, hanging with the kids, my wife, we're out here, away from the work that you've called me to do. And he says, the angel of the Lord appeared to him and the flame came out of the fire. You guys remember the burning bush? I could do Charlton Heston right now, but okay. So he saw this and then he looked, and this is verse 3. Moses said, now I will now turn and see this great sight. I will. It's not just about doing the work. It's the willingness to do the work. Could he have, oh, there's a burning bush, okay. I will observe this and I will listen to the angel of the Lord speak. You don't think Moses had an anointing on him? But the second Moses said, I will to do your will. I am willing to do it. He instantly walked back into God's perfect plan for his life. He didn't have to go, well, I have to get some things. I have to shave my face and I got to pay some bills and I got to sell some animals. Nope. The second he said he will, he went back to his father in Midian and said, I got to go. He instantly walked back into God's plan. Instantly. He walked into it. And he freed all the people. He went to deliver people like you and I are called to deliver people out of bondage. But we're afraid to go back there because we did some things wrong, and that's called condemnation. But Moses, it says even when Moses went back and further on Exodus 3, it said the people had forgotten about even what he did. Oftentimes, people don't even remember what you did. It's the enemy reminding you so you don't go back to help them. Okay, we'll pick it up next week. You guys get it tonight? Okay, I'm really excited about next week. Okay, let's stand, close in prayer.